If the typical Scandinavian murder mystery involves a gloomy, depressed, alcoholic detective with a broken personal life and a terrible diet, then we must be talking about Inspector Kurt Wallander, the fictional hero of a Swedish writer, Henning Mankell. He may not be a household name in the U.S. yet, but in Europe it's another matter. In Germany, for instance, Mankell's mysteries have outsold Harry Potter. Steve Paulson sat down with Henning Mankell recently and asked him to describe his best-selling detective.
I think he is a very average person in the sense that he's a very decent man, but he has problems with everything related to his private life. He is a man that is very common, I think, a man with problems how to relate to his own feelings.
Well, he seems to be prone to depression. He gets cynical. He's lonely. He drinks too much. Why did you decide to create a character like this?
Because I wanted to create a person that had a certain basic credibility. And I'm so fed up, I'm so bored with fictitious characters in books who are the same from page 1 to page 1,000. Nothing happens to them. And I really believe that what makes a character credible is the fact that he or she is changing. I still remember, for example, when I gave Mr. Wallander diabetes in the fourth book. In one way, it made him even more popular because people get diabetes in real life. And so I believe this is one of the secrets with his that so many people are interested in him, because he's very much like you and me. We are changing the whole time.
Shortly after 2 a.m., Wallander woke with terrible chest pains. He was convinced that he was about to die. The constant stress and strain of police work was having its effect. He was motionless in the dark, filled with despair and shame. He had left things too late. He was never going to make anything of his life. His anxiety and pain seemed to grow more and more intense. Afterwards, he wasn't sure how long he had lain, unable to control his mounting fear, but slowly he had managed to reassert his self-control.
He's a detective who spends a lot of his time thinking, not just about how to do his police work, but also about the condition of Sweden. And I guess I'm wondering if that's kind of unusual for a fictional police detective.
Probably it is, but one of the things that interests me is, I mean, the inner work, the thinking, the mental process that must be there when you are trying to solve a crime. I'm not very interested in action. So I found it as a challenge, for example, to let Mr. Wallander enter a room and then he, for 8 pages, is standing thinking. This is the only thing that happens.
Now, one thing that's striking about these stories is, I mean, they have such a huge following, and Inspector Wallander himself has kind of taken on a life of his own. How do you explain his appeal to so many readers?
Well, in a way, I think I've already given a part of an explanation, the fact that he is very much like you and me. Secondly, I believe that many people are thinking and worrying about the relation, for example, in Sweden and Europe between democracy and the system of justice. And he is a sort of spokesman for the thoughts of many people.
I've heard that you sometimes are asked how your fictional character, Kurt Wallander, would vote in various Swedish elections. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. It's really happened, for example, when we had a very, very important election about whether we should be a member of the European Union or not. And people actually came up to me in the street and asked seriously about that. And people look upon him as a very alive person. And I would say I like that, because even myself, I also have people out of books, out of paintings, out of theater that I look upon as friends that I can at least imagine that I one day could meet in the street. And isn't that what we use art to?
Yeah.
Get friends.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a lot of Americans, Sweden remains a kind of model society. But certainly you raise a lot of questions about whether that's really true in these stories. And I'm wondering how you think about what these novels can say about the state of Sweden.
Well, I think, first of all, I really believe still that Sweden is a very decent society to live in. But I'm also quite sure of the fact that Sweden could have been a much better society. I think that in the end of the 80s, the politics of Sweden changed very rapidly in a way that instead of reforming the welfare society, we throw out the baby with the bathwater in a way. What I believe I'm doing is, in a way, trying to take away a little of the mythology of Sweden. It is like in the 60s, it was a lot of rumors of the blonde Swedish girl. I mean, even that was a sort of mythology. And maybe it has been a lot of mythology also of Sweden, that Sweden was, in a way, a perfect country. We have never been that. This is Sweden, he thought. Everything is bright and cheerful on the surface. Our airports are built so that no dust or shadows could ever intrude. Our national aspiration, our religion, is that security written into the Swedish constitution, which informs the whole world that starving to death is a crime. But we don't talk to strangers unless we have to, because anything unfamiliar can cause us harm. We never built an empire, and so we've never had to watch one collapse. But we persuaded ourselves that we'd created the best of all possible worlds, and that even if small, we were the privileged keepers of paradise. Now that the party's over, we take our revenge by having the least friendly immigration control officers in the world.
One thing that's very striking about your stories is there's a very strong sense of place, both the landscape, which is often barren, and the weather. I mean, there's a lot of descriptions of cold, dark, snowy places. How important is the weather to the setting of these stories?
The landscape and the climate always plays a main character in everything I write. And why is that? Because that is true. I mean, the first thing you do in the morning, probably after going to the toilet, you go up and look what weather is it. Weather is so important for all of us, and it's absolutely the same wherever you go in the world. I really love to explain exactly today when this happened. It is not raining, but the feeling is it's going to be raining soon. And I really think the changing of the weather is a sort of poetry that I love.
Now, didn't you grow up in northern Sweden?
Right, I did. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to, I still remember when I was 7, 8 years old, I went to school. And when it was more than below 35 degrees Celsius, you didn't have to go to school. So I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but I can assure you it was very, very, very cold. And so I'm used to cold weather.
Now, what do you say to people who don't take crime fiction seriously, who say this is just genre fiction, it's not real literature?
One of the oldest literary genres that exist is to use the mirror of crime to look upon contradictions in society, or between human beings and society, or between human beings or inside human beings. If you go back to something that inspires me a lot, it is the ancient Greek drama written more than 2,000 years ago. I mean, what they do, all of these plays are about crimes committed or not yet committed. For example, Medea is about a mother that kills her children because of jealousy. If that is not a crime story, I don't know what the crime story is. The best crime fiction I ever read, I think, is Macbeth by Shakespeare. Hmm. Sometimes in dark moments, I believe that the only way, really, to tell about the world in which you and I are living together with the listeners, that sometimes I believe the only way to describe this terrible world is by using a mirror of crime. This is not true. Naturally, I know that. But on the other side, I believe that using this mirror of crime is a very good way of describing and talking about stories about our time and about our world.
Henning Mankell is one of the world's best-selling writers. He's published more than 20 crime novels, the most recent of which is The Man from Beijing. Steve Paulson spoke with him.